You lift us up on wings like eagles. Sweep horizons, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Sweep horizons, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Amen, amen. I think you may be seated.
Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. I just have the announcements for you this morning. Rob would like a couple guys to please stay after the service today to help him carry some leftover calendar party items upstairs. Choir practice is today at 1:30 for our Christmas presentation. If you're a part of that, please stay. If you'd like to be, please come. The leadership meeting that was scheduled for today after church is not today anymore. It's moved to next Sunday after church. It's a pizza lunch rather than the potluck that it usually is. And this is the leadership meeting, so that's anyone involved in leadership in the church. As you know, Joy Club has resumed for the school year. This is a girls' club that mentors elementary girls grades 1 through 5 in their walk with Christ. It also teaches them life skills such as crafts and baking. Their November meeting is Tuesday, November 13th at 6:30. Church member Heather Williams is speaking on autism awareness here on Tuesday, November 15th. This is a class project of hers, so we can come out and just kind of support her, but also you'll benefit from the information. There was a bus monitor training scheduled for next week, and that's been moved ahead a week, so it's going to be November 25th, and we'll give you some more information on that soon. Thanks for coming, and have a great day, guys.
Thank you so much, Meg. Let's all stand together and continue our singing this morning. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. Every Sunday at 10 o'clock, we come together and we worship together. We read the scripture together. We open up the Word of God and hear what God has for us. And then we sing songs and close. And we start out our week right by giving the first day of the week, Sunday, to God. And so we're so glad you're with us. We hope you continue to join us. We're going to teach you a new song this morning. It's called All Because of Jesus. It's not really new. It's new to us. But it's a great song. I wanted to do it for a long time, and then Nathan Trimbath finally said, we got to do this song, and so we're going to do it, and it goes great with the message today. I think we're all going to enjoy it. So it's called All Because of Jesus.
You move every breath out. Author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your word. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. I'm alive because I'm alive in you. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raised this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive.
Sing that verse again.
Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your word. King over all the universe, you be the glory. I'm alive because I'm alive in you. So I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ Christ me and raise this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus. Every sunrise sings your praise. The universe cries out your praise. I'm singing freedom all my days. Now that I'm alive. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ covers me and raised this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus, and it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ covers me and raise this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive.
Amen, amen. So I hope we fall in love with that one. It repeats. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And if that could get stuck in your head this week, that is a win. That is an awesome, incredible win. Because when you are facing that boss at work and that situation with your wife or your husband, and you say, this isn't fair. This isn't right for me. It's all because of Jesus that you're alive. It's all because of Jesus you're alive. It's not about you. And that's a great message to remember. Let's continue with 2,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be seen when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like ever before, oh, my soul, I worship His holy name. Your and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, I worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship His holy name. I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. See like ever before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name, Lord, I worship Your holy name.
Dear Lord, this morning we commend ourselves to You, Lord. We pray that You would be in this place and that You would be glorified here, Lord. We pray that everything that we have we would give to You, Lord, and then some. Pray that as You speak to us through Your word, that we would understand what it means to be in You and for You to be through us, Lord. We pray that You would receive this last song as a song not just of words and music, but of praise from our hearts, Lord. Be our cornerstone, in Jesus' name.
Cornerstone, we may
trumpets out. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. And through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Amen. Please remain standing for scripture reading.
You know, if you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 13, that's our scripture reading for the day. And I love the part of the song that Ron was singing. It's all because of Jesus. No matter what happens, it's because of Jesus, and we just have to trust in him. And as you're turning to Psalm number 13, we find David actually in the same position that we find ourselves in, and that is, you know, you're searching for God's answers, and sometimes they don't come in the time frame that we think they should come in. Or you've already been answered by the Lord, but the event just hasn't happened yet. And we have to learn to trust in his timing, not in ours. So if you would help us, that's a short psalm, but a very powerful psalm. If I'll read the even-numbered verses, and you would read the even-numbered verses and help me out on the last. Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forgive me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And dear Lord, we just come before you today and we just thank you for all the things that you do. We just thank you for your answered prayer. We thank you that that your timing is perfect. We thank you, Lord, that you know exactly what is going on in all of our lives. Nothing surprises you. We come before you today to give honor and praise to you and the praise of a new baby, Serenity, that was born to Tone. And we just ask that your healing touch be upon the little baby as it's still in the incubator, Lord, getting healthy every day. We thank you for that. We just ask for safe travel for Steve and Allison and Pastor Joe and Sue as they are away today. And we just pray for that safe travel, that they make it safely home. We think of Roger Markley, who had successful surgery but is still having pain from that surgery. And Lord, we would just ask that you're the healer of all healers and that your healing touch would be upon him. We pray for Donnie Nair, who is sick this morning, and we just ask that your healing touch be upon him. And Lord, for the many victims from Hurricane Sandy and this recent storm that hit them again this past week, we just ask that that your comfort and peace be upon these people that have lost loved ones, that are without power, that have lost everything. And Lord, just to comfort them and to let them know, as with all of us, and the comfort is that you're in control, you will never forsake us, you will always be there for us. And no matter what the situation may be, you will always get us through. We just ask, Lord, that you're with Pastor Ron today, to deliver the message that you want us to hear. And it's all for your honor and glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How's everyone doing this morning?
Great.
Pastor Joe and his wife Sue took a trip to Ohio. It's kind of last minute. They decided to go see Sue's sister. And so that's where they're at this morning. Pastor Joe asked if I could speak this morning. And hold on, I got to set my timer up. How long am I supposed to speak on a Sunday? Because I usually speak about 35 minutes on a Saturday. I add like 20 more minutes to this or like... Till I'm done. Okay, Chris is the man. All right, we bumped it up a little bit, okay? This will be the extended edition. Do we have any veterans here today? If we could have our veterans stand, that would be awesome. Veterans, let's recognize them this morning. Thank you. You know, we don't worship America, we don't worship our veterans, but it's because of their sacrifice that we can worship God. And I love that. I love that. And that's great that we can have so much freedom to worship God. So I hope you, if you do have veterans in your family or in your life, that you let them know that you appreciate it. My dad served 8.5 years in the Navy, which is why I'm weird, I guess, because we moved so much. But I just thank God for his service and for your service. I'm really excited for this series. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do the first message of the series that we've started on Saturday nights, okay? And the series is What is Church? And I'm really excited for this series because God's been like teaching me some things. And as I've come through them, now I get to teach them to you. And hopefully it will transform you and change you as it has me. And I think it's going to be a wonderful time. So what we're going to do the first week is we're going to talk about what started this whole thing that we call church. The next week, we're going to look at some of the history and what changed it all, what happened that changed it. And then the third week, we'll look at the mission and the purpose of church. And then the fourth week, I'm kind of leaving open for what God wants to do in us and through us. And we'll just kind of follow his lead in that. So if you do want to come out on a Saturday, then you're welcome to. If not, they'll be posted online, and I encourage you to follow along. But the whole thing, church, started with a birth. Okay? It started with the birth. There was this young woman who became pregnant, and she had claimed that she had never had relations with a man, and she was still pregnant. This was her claim. Okay? And she claimed that she was pregnant with the child of God, that an angel had visited her and told her that she was going to give birth to the child of God. And this apparently fulfilled all kinds of ancient prophecies from the Torah. And so the local king got pretty upset about the whole situation, so much so that he tried to kill off all the children, including this kid. But luckily, this family was warned. The story says that they were warned in a dream and left Bethlehem where they were and went to Egypt to flee from this king. And as this kid grew, his parents noticed some strange things about him. For one, he had exceptional intelligence. He could hold his own with the teachers and the lawyers of the day. He would ask them questions and convey with them. And sometimes he would ask some questions that they would get tripped up on. Well, I'll have to get back with you on that one, Junior. Any of you Sunday school teachers ever experienced that? You got that kid who asked the question and you're like, oh, that's a hard one. He was like that. He would ask these kind of questions. One time at a wedding, when he was a young man, his family was at this wedding, and there was this crisis situation that where the people who were throwing the wedding, they ran out of wine, and this would be a huge disgrace to their family. It would be a big deal, a big problem. And so his mom goes to the boy, the young man, and says, "Can you help them out?" And they had little words like mothers and sons do, and then he tells them what to do, and he says, "Will you fill this pot full of water and then serve it to the guests?" And so they do that. They fill the pots full of water, they serve it to the guests, and miraculously, this water is transformed into wine. And that was the first miracle that they have recorded of this young man. After that, he was baptized by one of the famous local prophets. He was baptized, and this prophet made some prophecy about him that he was the one, the Messiah, the one they've all been waiting for. And so shortly after this, he began to teach, and crowds would gather to hear him speak, and he started to recruit followers, and he recruited disciples who started following him and would listen to his teachings and would try to remember what he said. And so his followers started to call this new religion or new way of thinking, they called it the way. That was their terminology. They called it the way. And the reason that they did this was because he had said, "I am the way." And he taught all kinds of weird stuff. He said, pay your taxes, listen to the government, you know, just all kinds of things. And he said that his kingdom was an invisible kingdom, you know. It was incredible. And the religious leaders of that day started to get frustrated with this guy because he had so much success. And so if you want to get rid of your enemies, what do? You chop off their head, right? You cut off the head of the monster. That's how Miss Nancy Hensley, when I did that, she's like, oh, I never thought of that. No, I think she was kind of shocked, but Chris, you might want to watch out. You cut off the head, and then the rest of the enterprise will just kind of fall and it'll go away. And this has happened before. There was all kinds of people. Even nowadays, we have people who grow up and say, I'm a Messiah, you need to follow me. And then something happens, and they fall away, and nobody listens to it, or they just become a footnote on Wikipedia of those crazy people, right? And so they plot to kill this guy, and they do. They kill him. And it all ended there, right? No, it didn't. Why didn't it end there? Why didn't it end there? The story didn't end there. And the reason was because his followers started to claim that after they had killed him, 3 days after, they started to see him alive. And there was all these reports. I saw this guy alive. I saw this guy. I thought he was killed, but I saw him. I just saw him at Walmart. You know, I just saw him down the road. I know we went to Wreck-It Ralph, and afterwards he was right there in the foyer. I saw him. He was talking to people over here. Hundreds of people all at once claimed to have seen him. Now, if somebody in our community died and it was written in the newspaper that they had passed away and that they died, and then all of a sudden, you know, Elwin starts saying, hey, I saw this guy alive, you know, we might think that Elwin's crazy. Okay? If it were me, you definitely think that I'm crazy. But if it's Elwin, and it's Chris, and it's Pastor Paul, and it's Brian, and it's Phil, and it's Jarrett, and all these people that you know, and you know they're not crazy, and they all just start saying, I saw this guy alive. I saw this guy alive. And Brian and Paul, I saw this guy alive. And you keep hearing these reports, I saw this guy alive. You might go check out the grave, right? And then you see it's empty. And all my friends say they saw him alive. And they're transformed. And they're going crazy. Instead of killing the movement, this death seems to have energized and empowered this movement called The Way. And people start just telling the story like crazy. And they continue to tell it. And in fact, it got so much over the years, over the next 50 years, 100 years, the years that followed, it actually overthrew the mainline religion of the day. And actually, the pagan government, the Roman government, who tried to kill it, who tried to burn it, who tried to cut it and crucify it and do everything they could to kill this movement, it eventually said, we give up. We're going to follow the way too. And this switched the entire government to following the way. Amen. Now, we'll talk about what happened when government got involved and things got legalized next time, because that started to mess things up. But it did. It had so much power that it changed even the government of that day. And I bet you're curious about the way. I bet you're curious about what this guy who started the way taught. So we're going to talk about that this morning. His name was
Jesus.
Some of you guys are catching on.
And now you know the rest of the story, right?
I used to love, anybody Paul Harvey fans? Okay, you'd love that? Yes, that was the greatest, wasn't it? He doesn't do that anymore. I guess Paul Harvey Jr.? Okay, I'm getting sidetracked. Let's drink some tea. It's like my ADD medication. Okay, so here's what they taught. They taught that you would be in the way. If you were in the way, then it was all through this guy. You had to be in this guy to be in the way. And if you were in the way, then you would be reborn into something completely new. Everything that you have ever done would be forgiven, and that you would live forever. If you were in the way, that you would be completely reborn into something new.
and everything you ever did would be forgiven, and you would live forever. And they believed this because the guy that they worshiped came back from the dead. And he brought other people back from the dead. And people who used to do wicked things, who used to oppress people economically and oppress the poor, they started giving money back to repay their debts. They transformed like into something new. They radically transformed who they were. And then they would start telling other people. There was this one guy named Zacchaeus who was like that. He was wicked. He would oppress people, and he would use his economic power to rule and lord over them. And then when he came to Christ, he completely transformed, and he gave back four times what he had stolen and taken from people by abusing his power. It was incredible. And there was story after story after story of this kind of thing going on. And his followers were completely convinced that he had risen from the dead. In fact, so much so that they endured death by torture rather than reject and say, "All right, you got me. I was faking it." Because they weren't faking it. They believed it was true. "He has changed me. I will not deny him. Go ahead, kill me." Time after time after time, they did this. And they told everyone, the whole world changed. This movement was unstoppable. And as you know, this man's name was Jesus. And we're going to look at some of the things he said this morning. In John chapter 14, verse number 6. If you have your Bible, John 14, 6. It says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That was one of the things he said. Another one in John 15, 5. Just jump over a chapter and down a few verses. He says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Another one, I love this, in Colossians chapter 3. Flip over to Colossians if you have it this morning. If you can't find Colossians, don't worry, neither can I. Use your phone or your iPad. It's a little easier to get there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and I'm in Hebrews, Corinthians. Here we go. Colossians 3, 4. It says, "When Christ," and I love this, "when Christ, who is our life."
Yes.
"When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." These are some of the things that were written about him and that he said himself. He said that in him is life. And they believed that in the way, in Jesus, in this person that they saw and touched and experienced was life. Was life. That he had the power to transform them into something completely different. Forgive everything they had done and let them live forever. Empower them to live forever. He rose from the dead. They believe this. Not just himself. He didn't just rise from the dead for himself, but he rose from the dead for them. For them personally. They believe that he lived on through them as well. It's incredible. Incredible what they believed. And it just completely transformed the entire known world of that day. So, fast forward a bunch of years. Right? Here we are this morning. Okay? It's kind of what started it all. And I want to share with you some of the things that I believe and that I've been taught and how I look at them a little bit differently, and God has given me some insight. So we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. I was reading in Colossians this week, last week, I don't remember. I've been reading this verse like over and over for quite some time. But Colossians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. 9 and 10, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Another version that I sometimes read in my personal study says, "You are filled in him." You are filled in him. And that really tripped me up. Okay? Because to fill something means you take it and you pour it into something, right? So if I am filled in Christ, if I am completed in Christ, Jesus pours into me, which is it? It didn't make sense. I would think that you would say you have been filled by Jesus. You have been filled by Christ. You've been filled with Christ, right? So, say if I'm going to complete a house, if I'm a builder and I'm building a house, which I'm not a builder at all. You guys know this. So I'm going to build a house and I'm going to complete it. The house was completed in Ron. No, you wouldn't say the house was completed in Ron. Like, Ron's smaller than the house, and the house, and like, I didn't like build it in my stomach and then like vomit. That's gross. I don't know. That doesn't even make sense. The house was completed by Ron, right? Ron, the master builder, completed the house. The house was completed by Ron. Maybe the house was completed with Ron's skills, okay? But not in Ron. That just doesn't make sense. And it confused me. And I had to sit and think, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Because here's what I've learned, okay? And I'm going to ask Jace to put the whiteboard up. And it's really laggy, and I gotta tell you guys, I gotta apologize ahead of time. I am the world's worst drawer, okay? I spell even worse than I draw, but bear with me. I think it'll be just enough for us to manage. So if Jesus looks like Gumby, then please do not crucify me, okay? It's just because I can't draw. All right, so we got it on the screen. Let's see if this works here. Okay, here's what I've been taught and what I've learned my whole life, okay? So here's this guy over here. Na, 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 na. Skillful. Okay, you can tell I did not go to Art Institute of anything. Ha ha, it works. Okay, this is, we need an expression, right? Okay. Da, da. I'm so happy. All right, this is what I like to call Big Ron. Okay? Because my whole life, you know, I'm a junior. My dad is Ronnie Lee Hudson Sr., and I am Ronnie Lee Hudson Jr., and so anytime we're at family events, I am Little Ron. Or actually, I wasn't Little Ron. I was Little Ronnie, okay? Yeah, it's great. Now you guys are going to call me Little Ronnie, because... All right, so I'm Big Ron now, okay? Because my dad lives in another state, so I got claims on it. Big Ron here. Right? Big Ron is a broken man. As you can see, his leg is a little disfigured. Okay, so Big Ron is a broken man. He's sinful, and Big Ron needs help. And so what Big Ron needs is Jesus, right? Okay, so here is little Jesus. Here's little Jesus. I drew it in red. He's the blood. Okay? So little Jesus then needs to go in Big Ron's little heart. And my hearts are like, this is why I don't draw pictures for my wife. Now I write music instead. Okay, so Jesus needs to go into Big Ron's little heart, right? So Jesus, yay! Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will open the door and come in, right? We've talked that. Jesus wants to come in your heart. We tap right here. And so in my mind, I'm imagining Jesus has got to, you know, shrink down and be able to fit in my heart. And so this is the mentality I have. And so Jesus comes into my heart. And then when Jesus comes into my heart, now my life is better. And Jesus comes in. It sits on the throne of my heart. And there's like this weird steampunk control system with all the levers and the handles and stuff, you know, and the pedals. And then Jesus then starts to drive Big Ron around, you know, and I go and I love people and hug people even if I don't want to, because now I'm a Christian and Jesus is controlling me, right? Okay. The problem is, it says that I am filled in Christ. I am completed in Jesus. Not the other way around. Like, so here's what I thought, what I came up with, and I think it's pretty accurate. Okay, here we go. This is more accurate. We have da 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 da. Okay, that's a big arm. Let's try not to draw bell bottoms this time. Oh. Yes. Ha. The arms always look really weird. you guys got to show me how to draw arms. It's kind of laggy. Check out this arm. It's like, woo! Swollen a little bit, you know? I don't know what's going on there. He needs to wrap it. So, okay, this is Big Jesus. And Big Jesus has a nice face and a happiness. Yes, because he loves me. This is Big Jesus. That is the arm of hugging, okay? And it's like the most awesome arm of hugging. Okay, anyway, so there's Big Jesus. And let's read the text again. Back up here. Verse 9 of Colossians chapter 2. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now back up to chapter 1. This is talking about Jesus in verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him, Big Jesus, right? In him should all fullness dwell. Okay? Now, let's go back to our whiteboard here. If we can do that. Yes. Okay. Big Jesus is bigger than everything. He is bigger than big. Think of the biggest thing you can think of, and then he's bigger, okay? Bigger than the universe. The entire universe holds together because of Big Jesus. Because Jesus is so big and so powerful, and God the Father has put all that power in him. I mean, just look at that muscle. Okay, so here's a more accurate thing. There's Big Jesus, and then there's little Ron. We're going back to little Ronnie, okay? And little Ronnie is in sin and has a disfigured face, okay? Little Ronnie is a broken little man. And I am complete. I am filled only by being in Jesus, okay? Think of it like this. How many of you have ever thrown a bucket in a river? You guys are missing out on a blast, okay? Like, it is one of the most awesome. Seriously, you gotta try it. You throw a bucket in a river, an empty bucket, woo, you throw it in the river, and what does it do? It floats for a little bit, okay? Until it capsizes, and then the water starts to go in, and then it goes down under the water, and it's completely submerged. What else is the bucket? Full. Filled. Oh. How am I filled in Christ? By being submerged, surrounded, capsized in Christ. And when this happens, thank you, Jace, for the white pad. That's awesome. Can we give Jace a hand for like figuring that out, making that work? When I am in Christ, I am consumed. I am baptized in him. Read Romans verse chapter 6. I am baptized in him. I am drowned in him, because I die, I breathe him in, and it kills what used to be, and everything about me is transformed at a molecular level. Imagine it, okay? I know it happens spiritually, but just imagine your entire being just completely dissolved and made into something brand new. That's what Jesus does. That's what the way is all about. Completely transformed into something new. 1 Corinthians tells us that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. You're completely transformed, right? Yeah. There is like this molecular change. The very core of what makes me who I am is transformed as long as I abide in him. This is what Jesus says. Abide in me. And I in you, like a sponge, I am thrown in, and everything, just because I'm surrounded and I am abiding in Jesus, then I just start to soak up Jesus, and I become like one of his tiny little cells, to be a part of his body, to be a part of who he is, to accomplish the purpose that he has in the world. And if I get out of him, if I try to jump out of Jesus, little Ron tries to jump out, what do you think happens? I try to get out of Jesus, and then I try to look at big Jesus, and I'm little Ron, and I try to be like Jesus, and okay, I gotta do things like Jesus. And I try to be like him. What am I, what, you think I have any chance of success? Not at all, not at all. So, we love lists, right? We love lists, and even if you don't love lists, you love lists because you're here this morning. We love lists, and you know, maybe you guys are thinking, this is great. I love this visual. What do I gotta do? What do I gotta do? Just give me the step-by-step. He's gonna go into 3 points now and read a little poem. It's gonna be awesome. I'm gonna like write these down, okay? We love lists, right? Give me the lists and I'll start doing it this week. I want you to read Romans chapter 8, verse 3 through 4. Romans 8, 3 through 4. And while you're turning, I'm gonna take a drink because mine's getting really dry here. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Okay, so what's going on here? What's going on here? We think, when you have the big Ron, little Jesus idea going on, you think that little Jesus is going to come in and empower you to keep all the rules on the list. Okay? I've been going to church, been writing down the rules. I know what God wants of me. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to read my Bible. I'm supposed to be loving and kind to my neighbor. I'm supposed to do all these wonderful things. Okay? And then you don't. Okay? You're not fooling anybody. I know you don't because I don't. Okay? Paul, the guy who wrote like half the New Testament, he didn't either. In Romans chapter 7, "I want to do the things I'm supposed to do, but I don't do the things I'm supposed to do, and then I do the things I'm not supposed to do, and I hate myself." Okay? That's Romans chapter 7 in a nutshell. You don't do it, okay? I know. I hung out with you. Okay? We sin together, probably. All right? We struggle with this list. We struggle with this list. And then, when you break the list, the rules on the list, guess what? There's a whole other list of rules on how to deal with breaking the list of rules. And this was in the Old Testament, too. I mean, they had, okay, you messed up, you sinned, so now you got to go sacrifice a he-goat and a she-ram and like, get make a cake and... I don't know what that is. Make a cake and burn some incense and then... You know, now you're back on track. And then in the New Testament, you know, the church, us folks, you know, and the government got involved. And, you know, now you can pay for your sin. You know, that happened back way back when, you know. You got with the indulgences and stuff, you could buy your sin forgiveness. And we have all these things, you know. Okay, I sinned, so I got to confess my sin. And then I have to read my Bible and get back on track. And we have this list of rules that we follow and what to do when we break the rules. And you know what? It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because when you break the rules, then you feel horrible for breaking the rules, and then you look at this new set of rules, and you're like, I didn't do that either. And then when you keep the rules, now you're pretty awesome, right? You're like, look at me. I kept the rules. Well, at least this set. I don't look at those, okay? But I kept these four that are biggies for me, and I'm awesome. Look how big Ron is, you know? And then we get prideful, and then that's one of the rules you're not supposed to break, and so then you're back around. It's a mess. It's a mess, and pretty much every religion is like this. It's, you ought to do this, you didn't do this, you're toast. You ought to do this, you didn't do this, you're toast. Okay? And we that are Christians, we still... Even though we are in the way, we could fall back into this thing that was never intended to be. And you know, some of the rules, though, have become near and dear to my heart because I've grown up in this faith. They're near and dear to me. They have become part of who I am and what I'm all about and what I do. Okay? These rules have become part of my culture. And... You know, this is nothing new, but to say that my heritage, my culture is sinful or wrong or that I'm doing it wrong, that's pretty offensive to me. That's pretty offensive to me, and I don't take that easy. I don't take kindly to that. So this is nothing new, though. In Acts chapter 15, they dealt with this. But before that, on the day of Pentecost, let me describe it to you. The day of Pentecost was a special day where God sent the Holy Spirit to indwell the church, to empower the church, to be in us and through us. Okay? And that's like hours of explanation, but just bear with me. On the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching, and there was thousands of Jews and Jewish converts there from all over the world. People who were Jewish by birth and people who had converted to Judaism. And they were there, and he starts preaching to them. And for those believers that day, and thousands of people came to know Jesus that day. For those believers that day, they were not converting to a new faith. Jesus was the fulfillment of their faith, of their teaching. They have years and years of Bible teaching from the Torah. And Jesus was the fulfillment of everything that they had learned and learned. Fast forward a couple chapters in Acts. Paul goes to see this guy Cornelius. God tells him to eat with Cornelius, who is a sinner, who is a pagan, who doesn't keep the same cultural, religious laws that Peter grew up with. Fast forward even more. Paul is called as this missionary. He goes out and he starts telling people, Gentiles who do not, they're not Jewish. He starts telling them about the way. Hey, if you will get in the way, then he will transform you into something new. He will forgive everything you did. You'll live forever. He starts telling people and they're like, yes, I want to do this. These new believers, these new converts, they were not converting to Judaism. They were converting to the way. In fact, they were first called Christians at Antioch. They were Gentiles. And said, what are we going to call ourselves? Let's call ourselves Christians. They weren't calling themselves Jews. They were calling themselves Christians. So then you have this whole group of Jewish believers who believe that Jesus is the completion of everything that they know. And then you have these Gentiles who say, I don't want to be Jewish. I'm not Jewish. I don't follow the Torah. I follow the way. See the conflict? See the conflict? And so in Acts chapter 15, we have this conflict. In Acts chapter 15, if you have your Bible, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Acts 15, I'm going to read 7 through 11. And when there had been much disputing, imagine that, disputing in the church. No, really? Yeah, much disputing, Peter, who's like the head honcho, he rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why in the world are you going to put on these new Gentile believers all those rules and lists that we couldn't even keep, hundreds of years of our fathers couldn't keep, and we couldn't do it either? Why are you going to put it on them? Okay, because see, to become Jewish wasn't just like to learn a bunch of stuff and like wear different clothes. It required surgery for the guys. That was a big deal, okay? And so like you go to the Bible study, like the wives and husbands in the car. Like I'm not, no. It was a big deal. There's a lot going on there. And Peter says, this is ridiculous. And then drop down to verse 12. Mark or James stands up. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. So Paul and Barnabas start testifying, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing people come to Christ. They're being transformed. They're being forgiven. And they exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, and they're telling other people. They share their testimony. And then verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Listen to me, guys. Simeon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is, and this is what James like brings it all down together. He sums it up in this statement. He says that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. That we trouble not them. Don't make it difficult. Don't make it any harder than it has to be for people to come to Christ. This was James. And he goes on and says, "Don't they shouldn't drink blood or eat things that are strangled." Okay? And he covers that. But here's what he says. Don't trouble them. Don't make it any more difficult than it has to be to come to Christ. You know, in, let's see, where did I put that verse? I didn't write that verse down. Jesus said in Matthew that the gate is straight and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. What does that mean? It says broad is the gate and wide is the path that leads to destruction. What does that mean? It means that those who are going to find Christ and come to know the way are few. That it's hard to find. That the gate is small. The road is narrow and difficult. And some of us, myself included at different times in my life, some of us have took on ourselves the stewardship of the straightness and the narrowness of the gate.
Right. It's straight and it's narrow, and by golly, we're going to keep it that way.
Right? That's not what Jesus is calling us to do. Where he says, "Few there be that find it," that should be a wake-up call. That's not okay. I'm not okay that few there be that find it, that there's only a few people that are going to find this straight and this narrow gate. So what are we called to do? We are called to build the biggest, most sightly neon sign pointing to the gate. "Hey guys, over here, over here. I know it's hard to see. I know the road is really tough. Here, take my hand. I will walk with you on it. It's hard, but I will walk with you. I will bring you in. Da, da, da. Let's do a marching band. Let's make noise. Let's point to the gate, because not many people are going to find this one. Not many people are going to make it down this road. So let's make noise. Amen. Let's stand outside the gate. Let's point the big signs and say, over here, over here. This is the way. This is the way. This is the way." Not to stand outside and say, "Well, I don't know. I don't think you could fit. You're going to have to go lose some weight before you can come in the gate." That's not our job. And so many times we get stuck on other things that are cultural to us, that we value and we hold dear as part of our faith, when they're not really part of our faith. They're just a yoke that our fathers have put upon us that have nothing to do with Christ. They have nothing to do with the way. They have nothing to do with following Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, it says, I'm going to read 22 through 23. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And here's what we do. What we do is we try to take this list and then say, "Okay, I got a new list. I got a new list. I'm going to do these things, okay?" And so Monday morning, I'm going to wake up and be like, "Lord, help me with my temperance. I need to be more temperate. I don't even know what it means, Lord. But help me with temperance. I got to be temperate, temperate, temperate." Okay? In case you don't know, that means self-control. All right? So, "Lord, help me with self-control. I got to have self-control. I got to do this. I don't know what meek is, but, you know, I want to do that too." And we try to do these things. And when we don't do those things, then I messed up. I didn't do it. I made rotten fruit, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then we feel bad. And then there's another list of, I got to fix it. And then I just don't want to go to church because I don't have any fruit this week and I'm not going to be welcome there. No, it's a mess. You don't do fruit. Fruit grows. You don't make fruit. No. How many of you stand outside and be like, "Grow grass, grow"? No. Grow the grass grows. God grows the grass. And God grows you. And when you are in Christ, when you dive into him, that you are completely transformed and changed into something new, and you, as a functioning piece of him, of his body, then start to grow because you are a part of him, and it is his fruit, and he is growing in you and through you. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not something that you are doing. Did you read the rest of that verse? Check this out. After that, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Woo! I know that one, right? Verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If I crucify my flesh, how am I making fruit? It's dead. I can't. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, if we live in Jesus, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Why would it add that? Look, we're doing so good here with love and peace. Where's the vainglory and stuff come in? What is that? Well, here's the thing. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing, but here's the problem. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be transparent this morning. I really like Big Ron. I really like the idea of Big Ron. It's really cool. You know, I wanted to be Big Ron my whole life, and now I feel like I can be Big Ron. Okay? And I really like the way that works, because then I get to take credit for what little Jesus does, because people don't see Jesus. They see Big Ron. And when Big Ron is loving and kind and gracious, oh, wow. Isn't Ron great? Now, I guess no one ever says that, but I like to think that people say that, okay? I want people to say that. And I'm going to wrap up with this illustration. You guys remember Alan's truck? Some of you guys were here when Alan was here. Some of you guys weren't. We used to always make fun of Alan's truck, right, Chris? It's great. It's the Barbie truck. Okay. Alan had, he was a previous pastor before Joe, and before Pastor Joe, and he had this Nissan truck, okay? And it was like this small little dinky truck. And one day, I don't know what we were doing. We were moving stuff back and forth or whatever, but I needed to use the truck. So he gives me the keys. Yeah, go ahead. Use the truck, Ron, you know, move the stuff. And we had just had a big snow. And when we have a big snow, that they plow all the parking lots and they make these snow embankments all around the sides, right? And we have this road in the back that's going to get paved, right? Woo-hoo! We have this road in the back, and the road was covered with the snow embankment. So I thought, I'm driving a truck. I'm going to go through the snow embankment. This will be awesome. Right? So I back it up. You know, I was doing donuts out there and stuff, real, real dry. So I back it up, you know, get ready to hit the gas. And boom, you know, I'm in a little Barbie truck, shaking and stuff, you know. And I hit the snow embankment. Bam! You know, and I get through. Okay, all it did was, like, made it a little shorter. Right? And I'm like, this was so cool. It was awesome, you know. And I turn the truck around. I go back to Alan. Here you go, man. Dude, I totally drove it through the snow embankment. You did what? He's not happy. Why would you do that? We're supposed to be good stewards of God's stuff, you know. And he starts, like, yelling at me and stuff. And Alan's a great guy. And I deserve to be yelled at because, like, that was dumb. That was really dumb. But, you know, I was joyriding in someone else's vehicle. And how many of you guys have ever joyrode in someone else's vehicle? Right? Good times. Now you're lying in church, okay? At least Senior did, right? I know Jared has. Like, but this is what we do, okay? Satan comes into our life to tempt us with something. Maybe a sin issue or something. And we say, sorry, Satan. Jesus has got the truck this afternoon. But if you'll wait, he'll be back around 4. If you want to stick around a little bit. You know? Jesus got the truck, but he'll be back after a while. And, you know, when I steer Big Ron, when I get to drive the big truck, Big Ron, I wreck it. I wreck it. I mess it up. I'm a poor driver. A Big Ron. I really am. And so what I think is I need a consultant. I need lessons. Right? I've asked my father-in-law many, many times to give me driving lessons because he was a driving instructor for commercial trucks at UPS, you know. Everybody take a drink. Sorry, it's a fun game. So But PJ, you know, he could teach me how to drive, and so it doesn't help. There's a main major problem with Ron's driving. I am a bad driver, okay? And nothing's going to fix that. And part of the problem is that sin is like a fender bender. Sin is like a wreck. Sin is like bad driving skills. So when I lie, ooh, I scuffed up the bumper, okay? When I get angry, I'm tailgating, all right? When I let my thoughts wander, I'm speeding, right? Bad driving skills. And part of the problem is I've been doing this so long, my bad driving. I'm 31, I'll be 32, you know, next year. I've been doing it so, chances are it's probably not going to get much better, okay? And so even if I were to let Jesus take the wheel, you know? You guys know that song? Even if I were to let Jesus take the wheel, it wouldn't help much because the driving steering column is out. It's all really loose. My alignment is out. And so when you let go of the wheel, it's like, you know, it goes to one side. The shocks are broken. So you go over a bump and it's just, you know, my truck is shot. It is just busted up. And there's no real help for me. No matter how much consulting Jesus does, and I read this, no matter how much I'm like, all right, you can borrow the truck, Jesus, let's go for a ride. It's not going to help because my truck is junk. Big Ron is junk. And this is the problem. It's not going to work. So what we have to do then is not invite Jesus as a driving consultant. It's not even to let Jesus take the wheel. Sorry, Carrie. I have to take my truck to the junkyard owned by God and let him just melt me down and drop little Ron into this huge, huge melting pot of big Jesus. And he will melt me down. And as soon as I make contact with him and I am in him, then there's this huge reaction. And I am transformed. I'm transformed. I'm changed. I don't have to worry about the list because the list, his fruit just is in me. I am part of him. I am in him. I am transfused. I am changed. I am transformed. And as long as I stay and I abide in him, my natural tendencies will start to become to love and to have joy and to have peace. It's not that I'm doing it. It's that in the end of the day, I was like, okay, I was in Christ today. You know, that was awesome. And I can't believe it. How could I be so gracious and kind of forgiving to that? I don't know how that happened. That is totally not me. And Jesus is like, you're right, because you're new. You're different. You're different. What about the old one? That's all forgiven. That's gone. That's old. It's passed away. Everything's new. Everything is different. This is what the way is all about. The way is not about the rules. It's not about a list. It is about getting in Christ, and he will transform and change you. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not the other way around, not keep the list, and then you're going to be holy. No. Be in Christ. Little you inside big Jesus, and everything will be transformed. Everything will be transformed. They absolutely had to tell everybody about this. Everybody had to hear because they were genuinely messed up people that God radically transformed. I got to tell everybody about this. I got to put the big sign up and tell everybody how to find this little gate in this narrow way because this is awesome. And I want to ask you guys, have you experienced this transformation? Have you experienced this kind of transformation in your life? If not, chances are you're doing it wrong. You're still trying to loan Jesus the keys or invite him to be in the passenger seat or even the driver's seat. But it's not transforming you because you're driving a bum truck, thinking that it's just all going to get better if you have a different driver. It's not. So this morning, I want to tell you, outside of Jesus, there is no life. He is the most amazing thing that will ever happen in you and through you. Let's all stand together. I'm going to ask that you bow your head and close your eyes to give yourself and others around you some privacy. And I want to ask you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready to jump into Jesus? To let him melt you down and recreate you into something completely brand new? Are you? If you've never accepted Christ, if you've never done this before, today is your day. So this morning is your time. I don't care if you prayed a prayer, if you've done something, you know, you did some ritual. I don't care. If you feel in this morning that I need this transformation, this is your morning. This is your time. This is your place. This is your message that God is speaking to you. Brian's going to play some music in a second. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come down to this altar as just a way to show publicly what's going on inside of you. Maybe you're already a Christian, quote unquote. You've already accepted Jesus, and you've kind of grown up in this culture, you know, but you're really just letting him borrow the keys. You're letting Jesus joyride in your life on Sundays and Wednesdays and maybe even other times during the week, but you just cannot figure out why you can't stay on track, why you can't drive straight, why as much as you try and you desperately want to do right, you still fail. It's time to be melted down. It's time to be completely consumed by him. Today is your day. And I'm going to invite you to come to the altar and pray and say, God, just melt me, consume me. Let me be in you and you through me every day. Now's your chance. Right now, just step out from your pew. As Brian plays, just come on down. Don't be shy. That's it. That's awesome. People already starting to come down. Say, I need Christ in me. I need to be in Christ this morning. I need to be melted down. I need to be transformed. That's you. Come pray. Just come kneel at an old-fashioned altar. Let God talk to you. Let God reveal it. Let him transform the way you think about this whole thing. Jesus in, if you want to be in him for the first time, then pray with me this morning, something like this. Say, please forgive me. Lord, I surrender myself to your consuming love. I'm jumping in to your enormous grace. Cover me and fill me as I live in you. That's simple. Forgive me. Cover me. Consume me. About for you Christians, you might pray something like this. You might say, Jesus, I'm so small. You are so great. This morning, I surrender my whole being to you. Consume me. Melt me down. Envelop me in your grace and in your love and transform me into something new. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.